This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
This podcast is proudly in association with HelloFresh. HelloFresh is a subscription-based meal kit company that delivers amazing recipes straight to your door. On the app, you'll be able to choose your weekly recipes to meal plan your week. They deliver fresh ingredients straight to your door to make the recipes that have carefully been selected. With step-by-step recipe cards, there's no need to be a chef to cook delicious meals. You have full flexibility on what meals you get and when you get them. It's easy to add extra portions, change recipes, modify your delivery time, or pause your deliveries. We are also delighted to offer a 60% discount to West Ham fans on the first box and then a 25% discount on the following 2 months when you use the code WESTHAMWAY in capital letters. So download the HelloFresh app or visit the website www.hellofresh.co.uk/WESTHAMWAY to get these delicious, easy-to-make meals sent straight to your door. HelloFresh, dinner is solved.
You're listening to the West Ham Way podcast with Dave and X. Oi, oi!
Hello and welcome to the West Ham Way podcast with myself, Dave Walker, an ex-WH employee. It's back-to-back wins for the Hammers with the latest victory coming at Goodison Park. We talk about three excellent goals, a spectacular performance from Areola, the central midfield partnership of Souček and Alvarez, X experiencing more unnecessary aggression in Liverpool, and a busy week ahead before getting news from X and answering questions from patrons of the West Ham Way. A win for West Ham this year is like London buses. You wait forever, then two turn up. Back-to-back victories for the Hammers. I couldn't make Goodison for personal reasons, but you could. So give us your thoughts on the performance and the result.
Yeah, it's a really strange one. The whole thing around West Ham is really strange at the moment. You know, everything, as you say, can't get a win. Then you get two. Fans want him in. Fans want him out. It's just all a bit weird at the moment, but that is the beauty of our club. You know, there's never a dull moment. But the same with the game, you know, without Areola, we could have been 4, 5, 6 down. You know, he played absolutely brilliant. But on the flip side, I never felt that we were going to lose that game, even when we were 1-0 down. You know, it just, or when they got the penalty, it felt like we could win that game. And, you know, I just felt that it was something that we were going to go on and do. And I felt we were playing well, even though Areola was having to make so many saves. So it was a very, very strange one. But we got the result. That's all that matters at the end of the day. We got 3 goals. We played well. Some of the individual performances were outstanding. You know, we talk about Areola, obviously, and rightly so. He's won the patron man of the match. It'd be silly not to. But Alvarez was absolutely brilliant, absolutely fantastic. Souček, and again, 2 games in a row, going to give him credit, not just because of the goal, because the goal was a worldie, but he cleared, went off the line, and he was getting stuck in, making passes. I thought he played really well. I think just generally across the team, kudos. You know, really strong, hard to knock off the ball, creates everything. and that creates a lot. And I just thought it was Mavropanos. I thought it was good. You know, I thought the whole team played well. So it's weird that the keeper had so much to do, because I think we were playing well at the same time. But whatever way you look at it, it's 3 points, another 3 points, two in a row. We're looking very good in the table again, you know, 2 points off sixth, which you would have definitely taken at any point in the season. So, yeah, happy days.
That's a decent summary, mate. I mean, Everton had 22 shots, 11 on target, nearly 500 passes and 55% possession. I think you've answered this question, but does that bother you? Do you care?
No, mate, because at the end of the day, what have they got to show for it? You know, like, yep. This is what I mean. And, like, you know, West Ham fans, like, it's mainly obviously those that want to be proven right about Moyes, but they'll look for different statistics to say how rubbish he is. You know, ultimately, if West Ham win the game, I don't care what the statistics are. You know, ideally, you'd rather West Ham won 5-0 when we had 90% possession and 27 shots and whatever it may be that is that shows that you've completely dominated the game. I get that, of course, but ultimately in 2, 3, 4, 5, even 2, 3 weeks, you know, you're not going to look back and say, oh, the Everton game, yeah, but we won 3-1, but, you know, we didn't have as much possession as they did. You're not going to care. You know, even the Sheffield United game, which was what, I don't know, a month ago now, let's say, where we got robbed of the penalty, you know, at the end, we got robbed by their penalty. You know, there was so much wrong about that game that should have given us an extra 2 points, which incidentally would have put us level with Manchester United now. In a next season, we would have forgotten about that. You know, we'll probably remember the incidents, but we won't remember it as a whole, you know, a factor in our season. And that was, you know, massive indication of something being wrong for West Ham. If we win a game of football at the moment, honestly, I really don't care. Of course, I want it to be entertaining. And at the end of the day, the last two games, we scored 7 goals, you know, so you cut a goals are what makes football exciting ultimately. And if you scored 7 of them in 2 games, then it's an exciting match. You know, we've saved the penalty, and yeah, you'd rather not have given a penalty away, but that's exciting as well. So, you know, I just think ultimately I'm not bothered by that. I want the 3 points. We got the 3 points. Happy days.
Yeah, it is. It's all about the result. It's a results-based business. And yeah, of course, if you're winning, then fucking hell, if you've seen your team win, you've got to be a happy hammer. However, I do understand that I think when you look at those statistics, it does and should raise a bit of a concern as to how we can be that easily exposed to 22 shots.
Oh, yeah, it gives questions, and it definitely gives questions for the coaching staff and the management when they analyse the game. They need to see, well, look, we were vulnerable. We had so many, you know, shots against us. If it weren't for Areola, on another day we could have lost. You definitely need to consider those factors. But ultimately, as a fan, you know, as a management, definitely, but as a fan, when ultimately you're used ultimately a lot, I need to think of another word, when crucially your most important thing is to see your team win, then yes, when you're analysing a performance, you'd look at it. But when your happiness and your enjoyment of a game is the factor, then I don't think how much possession you've had should really come into it.
Yeah. Well, Sean Dyche wasn't happy. He had the ump after the game. He said, oh, we've lost that game. It's absolutely bizarre. but that's football. That's football, isn't it?
Yeah.
No, at the end of the day, Goodison has always been a tough place to go. And it's one of those games where I think before the game, you'd say, I'll take a point. I think most West Ham fans would say that. So to come away with 3, I think it's a brilliant result, regardless of how you get them. But, you know, you've spoken about Areola. It could have been a very different result without him. It could have been. Mm. I think that's obvious. Mm. But he is one hell of a keeper, isn't he?
Yeah, I think he's really beginning to show it. He has the odd moment where I think that's a bit dodgy, but on the whole, you know, there's been so many games this season where I think, you know, he's been brilliant. You know, there's a few that stand out. That one, the Brighton game, is another, and I'm sure there's probably been a few others where I've forgotten. I think he was good against team that we also beat earlier on in the season, so I've forgotten off the top of my head, but I know he's had loads and loads of good performances, and you could arguably say he's in contention for Hammer of the Year, really. I mean, there's a lot of contenders, and I think that is a question later that we have in the Patreon question section. But yeah, I mean, he's brilliant, and the good thing about him is he's a good age for a keeper, you know, 29-30, he's experienced, he's played for Real Madrid, PSG, the French national team, you know, he's got lots of experience across top clubs, top divisions, and I think he can only get more consistent for the next couple of years when he's had a full season underneath him as number one keeper. You have a pre-season knowing he's the number one keeper. And yeah, he seems like a really likeable fella as well. So yeah, complete package. And I'm really pleased with how he's performing at the moment.
Yeah, so am I. It's good to see Kurt get on the score sheet as well against his former side. A brilliant header, actually, to find what was a limited space in that top corner. And then, in the 91st minute, Thomas Souček scores an absolute weldy. What was you thinking as he was running towards you with his nipples exposed?
We're going to say as the ball came in. I mean, to be fair, when the ball came in, I'm going to give a shout out to my mate Rich and his son Ben. You know, we were going to meet up there anyway. But when you couldn't make it, I changed plans from staying at the hotel to going up with them the whole way. And that was actually his son Jamie's first away game. So what a first away day to have on your CV. And yeah, and I remember as the ball was coming in, I was saying, chest it and shoot. And it just seemed to take ages. And he did. Then when it went in, all carnage broke loose in the stands with this whole new limbs craze that seems to be going on. And it was just an amazing goal. And, you know, when he ran towards me whilst trying to recover my broken leg and broken nose, I was still happy at seeing him score that goal. And what a goal. I mean, you know, it's a brilliant goal, isn't it? You've got to question the marking a little bit, but he's chests it down outside of the boot into the far corner across the goal, and happy days. And this is where he earns his money. You know, like, to be fair to him, he cleared one off the line, which was very close to being a goal. He scored a goal like that. He was getting in the way of challenge of the opposition, and he was involved in a few other bits and pieces. I think when he does that, when he scores, he's so effective at either end. He has to start for West Ham. He has to. It's the games when he's not doing those bits as well, where he's pretty limited. But you can't criticise a fellow. What a goal! Two crucial moments in the game. I think his passing is actually improving as well, and he's such a lovable character, isn't he? I mean, you see his happiness at scoring and his interviews afterwards. And I just saw on Twitter, I didn't have a chance to look at it, but it looked like he went for lunch in the Bone Inn pub the other day as well, just to sort of cement his West Ham love. So yeah, you can't. I feel, you know me. I've always felt bad when I criticise him, but I tried to take the man away from the player type thing. But yeah, you can't give him anything but praise for the last two games, definitely.
Yeah, it's like Thomas of old, really. It's been really nice seeing him back to his best.
Well,
as you know, Thomas does contribute to this podcast on occasions, and after the game, he recorded this special message just for you.
Hello, West Ham fans. Hello, X. This is the best midfielder in the world speaking. X, did you enjoy my absolute thundercunt of a volley into the top corner at Goodison? You want to know what I was thinking? I was thinking that ball was your fucking head! You often call me a passenger in this side. Well, you're right. A passenger on a flight to the fucking Champions League!
How do you feel about that message?
To be honest with you, if it takes pretending the ball's my head for you to score goals like that, Thomas, then please do it every fucking game. Honestly, I'll even put a picture of my head out for you to imagine it even more. Because to be fair, if you contribute like that, I won't have to say things about you being a passenger, will I? So, you know, like, I'm glad that my constant constructive criticism has got you to start performing again. So happy days. It's a bit worrying how evil you've turned as well. I mean, stuck me in your potato salad that you need to get investigated. I'm pleased for you, Thomas. And look, mate, as I said to you all along, it's nothing personal. I like you as a player, as a fella, as a person, and overall, if you left West Ham tomorrow, you'd be remembered very fondly by me, but you just got to keep that level of performance up, basically.
I think that's fair. He is a lovely fella, you're right. He's got such an addictive personality, and even in terms of, or infectious personality, shall I say. Not addictive, yeah. That's me, I mean. Getting confused with the other Thomas Souček.
I'm getting my suit checks mixed up.
Yeah, so even you believe it so much, now you don't know which one you are.
I know it's getting out of control now, but yeah, you know, exactly. whilst whatever fucking suit check we're talking about now, I've spiralled out of control now, but, you know, he is lovely, but you're right, there is a bit of a sinister side to him, and I think you bring that side out in him, which is a bit worrying, but I agree, you know, if in some shape or form that motivates him to perform, then, you know, keep it going, X, because you're obviously doing something right, and
well, I think the thing we've done right, definitely, and I don't know if you're going to mention it or not, but twice now, up the Amers, changed to up the Amers from Coming You Irons, two wins. And this is what happened last year, mate. You know, we did the exact same thing. David Moyes owes us big time, to be fair.
Yeah, we kept him in the job, potentially. You know, if he gets a new contract in the summer, you know, I at least want a drink out of it because you know, superstition has played a massive part in this. We're unfucking defeated since we changed it.
Exactly.
We hadn't won a game this year. So
no, exactly. You know, I think it's the power we have over West Ham. It's all in the mind. You know, Thomas Suchek scoring because of me. West Ham are winning because of you and I. You know, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, I know. Powerful stuff, mate. Powerful stuff. It is.
No, well, this should be, everyone should listen to this podcast. That's a West Ham fan, you know. They should buy into us, like, because it's a cult. It's not. It's not actually a podcast. Yeah. It's a cult now.
Exactly. It's true. Well, the cherry on the cake was an exquisite finish from Alvarez. I mean, he took that like a seasoned striker, didn't he? What a finish it was in the 95th minute. Limbs were everywhere again, as we knew at that point that it was game over. He seems to be going from strength to strength at West Ham, doesn't he, Edison?
Mm. Oh, mate, his performance was super. Urban, as I said earlier, rightly so, Ariola will get mad at the match, but it's very harsh on him because I thought he was absolutely brilliant. Like, I thought he was winning the ball. He was breaking from midfield with it. He was encouraging the lads. He was getting stuck in. He was just everywhere. And you see the videos of that goal. You don't even appreciate it so much when you're at the game, but he's literally ran from the edge of his own area to get upside alongside Bowen and to be in that position for him to pass to him. And then, as you say, the finish, you know, was of a, you know, like a regular forward. And, you know, it's just quality to think that, you know, he is, you know, our replacement for Declan Rice. And we've done so well, because when you replace players like that, it's almost very, very hard on the person coming in to be able to step into the shoes, certainly initially. And look how quickly he's done it from day one. He's been performing like this, you know, and I thought his performance was sensational. And, you know, I've told the story of the podcast a few weeks ago when we played Crystal Palace and you know, it was a draw. I mean, and he went into the changing room and he basically said, "I'm not happy with this. You guys, this is not good enough," and basically bollocks everyone. That's exactly what we need in this team. And, you know, it's no wonder the Ajax fans loved him. And I think he's a big hit with the Mexican, you know, national team and stuff. So, yeah, I'm absolutely delighted with him. And I really, really, really like him. And, you know, there's some real contenders for Hammer of the Year. And you'd have to think that he's one of them as well. You know, if the only slight thing that lets him down is he picks up a lot of yellow cards. But on the whole, other than that, you know, what a player.
He's on his way to becoming a fan favourite, I think, because he's exactly what West Ham love to see. And he's that Julian Dix mentality, that Billy Bonds mentality, you know, that Scott Parker fight. And I love that in him. And I think the only thing that was more impressive than the goal was the fact that he showed that much desire and intent to be up there in the 95th minute, you know?
Great player. You think about it, mate. In the 95th minute when you're 2-1 up and your role is a defensive midfielder, the majority of those players, 98% of them, would be sitting back thinking, my job here is to protect the defence and hold this game out. The fact that he's got the motivation, the energy and the stamina to be up there right alongside Bowen in the last few minutes to be on the attack, you know, if he'd missed that, he'd have been straight back into position, so it wouldn't have cost us, because he's such a machine, hence the nickname. And I think, you know, I thought he was superb, and I feel sorry for him that he won't get man of the match, because it was a brilliant performance from him.
Yeah, it was. And however anyone wants to break down the performance, it's undeniable that it was a fantastic 3 points away to historically a very difficult ground to go and play. Let's hear what the gaffer had to say post-match.
I'm thrilled to have done it. It was very hard. I thought Everton were a bit unlucky. Maybe the result was a bit harsh on them. They miss a penalty kick and their keeper makes some good saves, but ultimately we've still scored 3 goals away from home, so I'm thrilled with how well the players have done today. Really, really good result.
You mentioned the saves your goalkeeper made, 8 in total by Alphonse Areola, and particularly the penalty save just before half-time, which could have turned the game, maybe.
It could have, but I mean, when they scored the goal, it could have turned the game as well. But the players showed great steals, resilience, went again, got themselves back in the game. Look, the game was pretty tight generally for long periods. Really competitive, bit of a throwback game, to be honest. But I really enjoyed it. But that's the tightness of the Premier League. The Premier League games are really close. There's very little between them. But maybe a few things went for us today which haven't been going for us in the last 6 weeks. So, look, we got a good win.
It's been a great week with a win against Brentford at home on Monday and this today.
7 goals in 2 games is not a bad return. I think for me today, the good thing was that other people got the goals today. 2 midfield players, a centre-half get a goal. So from that point of view, that was really important to us. And hopefully boost for confidence. We've got a European tie in midweek, which we're all looking forward to. And, you know, a win away from home here, a win at home on the back of a couple of wins going into Europe for the 3rd year in a row, we're all looking forward to it.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Well, that was the manager. Let's hear from a fan and a patron of the West Ham way, Lewis Knox.
I thought that game summed up a lot of what the fans are currently thinking under Moyes. It's one of them where we play like that, we get the result, excellent, everything's fine. If we don't get the result, then you know it gets toxic again. And that was a good example of, I thought. I don't think we played that well right until probably the last 20 minutes or so. But you got to take positives. You can't just keep going negative every single time. There's a big division in the fan base over Moyes and whatever. Let's just enjoy the game. Let's just enjoy the fact that we won. I didn't like massively on the tactics and we sat deep a lot and everything. But look, we won. We got the result and that's the main thing. Alvarez looks an absolute baller, by the way. And last 2 games, shout out to Thomas Suchek. Thought he was he's been class. It's almost like the when we first got him, first season we got him, he's been brilliant, back on the score sheet. We need to keep that momentum now and keep going. It's a really, really weird one, I think, West Ham at the minute. I think people aren't quite sure how to actually feel, because we're not really liking the performances, but then you can't argue if we get results. Yeah, it's a really weird one, but look, end of the day, 3 points. We're looking good in the league. Let's just hope we can carry on.
Did you enjoy your time in Liverpool, X?
Yeah, I did. Obviously, the result is the main reason I went up there, so I can't not enjoy that. But there were some classic moments. Whenever, you know, I go to Liverpool, obviously usually with you, but in your absence, there was 2. I'm sure you'd want to hear about the Anfield aggression, or sorry, the Liverpool aggression that I experienced whilst there.
I don't know this, by the way. I've deliberately saved it for the podcast because you haven't told me. You told me that there was, and I said, right, I want to hear this as everyone else hears it on the podcast.
Yeah, so I haven't actually, you know, I can't tell stories as well as you can, so people will have to bear with me. I won't be able to tell it as funny as you, but you'll get the aggression from it. So there was 2 incidents. So first of all, we drove up there, you know what I mean? We had a long journey, been up since, I don't know, 7 o'clock or whatever it was to get up to Liverpool. And we thought, right, we'll have a quick stop before we get too close to the ground, get something to eat, go to the toilet, and then we'll head over. And we actually, because as I said, it was my mate's son's first away day. We actually were going to stop at Anfield first, just so he could have a quick look around and see that. And obviously, they're so close together, and then go to Goodison. So we went up, we found this like little retail park. It's actually where I've stayed one time. Another time I didn't go with you. I stayed in this like hotel there. And then there's like a few restaurants, Nando's, there's a Subway, there's a KFC, McDonald's, etc., etc. So we settled on going to KFC. And the minute you walked in, the guy in front was arguing with the people behind the till. He said that he'd ordered a Coke and they'd given him a Fanta, which at that point, you don't know whose side to be on. Your initial reaction is it's the bloke being wrong because he's the one being aggressive. But as it turns out, he was probably in the right. So my glorious thing about KFC, and yes, I don't even want to go there with how it's made, but I love the gravy. I love the gravy in KFC to dip your chips in and stuff.
Yeah, it's unreal.
Yeah, so I didn't eat too much because we were going to, eat. That was lunch. So we actually had dinner in KFC as well. So we ate KFC twice. But that was lunch. So I just had small chips, a Philip burger, a Coke, which was disgusting and wasn't like Coke. It was off. But by this point, I couldn't be bothered to complain. And gravy. So I sit, I order it. They don't look at you. They don't smile. They don't even bloody acknowledge you. Really, you just like, you just take your bag and something number 422 or whatever. And you just take your bag. So they don't even look at you. So I took my bag, went back and sat at my table, and there was no gravy in it. And I thought, can I be bothered to just eat the chips and stuff? I'm going to ask for it because I can see it's over there in the tub. They've just forgot to put it in. So I go up and I went, excuse me, mate. He went, what? Like that. And that's my tips. And a Scouse accent, what? Not, yeah, can I help you? Or yes, sir, or whatever. What? That's the response. So I said to him, I ordered gravy with mine. And he went, yeah. And I went, well, there isn't any. And he went, okay. And then I went, it's making it was fairly obvious what I was trying to suggest. And I went, well, can I have one, please? He went, and then this other person, woman, I think she was a woman, it was a bit hard to judge without meaning to be too controversial, but she came from somewhere and just went, it's being made, love, all right? And I went, being made? And she went, it's being made, love. And I went, I can see it. It's over there. She went, as she picked it up, she went, there you go. And gave it to me, and I went, and I thought to myself, I thought it was being made. And then she just went, there you go, and threw it at me. And I was like, oh my God, like, what on earth? Why are you being so aggressive about it? And then, as I said, I went to drink my Coke, and it tasted like, I don't know what it tasted like, something had gone off. Anyway, it was clearly the end of the barrel or whatever, or the mixer wasn't right. And at this point, I thought, I'm not going to bother arguing about this. I just left it and didn't drink it. So that was the first example. And then my mate had booked, you can do those parking your cars on someone's driveway things, like,
yes, just park, isn't it, or something like that.
That's it, yeah, just park. I mean, there's a few of them, but yeah, that's one of them. So he'd paid to do that. Now, when we booked it, and he showed me the booking for it, and it clearly was a quite small house in Liverpool, as quite a few of them are when you get to the grounds, and it literally had a single driveway, right? So big enough for one car, pretty much, which is what we'd paid for. And we thought, one single driveway, happy days, we'll get out quickly, it's right near the ground, sweet, this will do. So we paid our money for it, and then as we're getting there, we're driving up, he gets a text, and it says something like, all right, lad, don't park up the drive, park as close to the garage as you can, like that. So we were like, okay, I wonder why. Anyway, so we get there, but because we stopped at Anfield, we were a little bit, getting reasonably close to kickoff. Not too close, enough time, like probably about 1:30 or whatever, but, not 12 o'clock. We get there, there's already a car on the driveway, but parked no way near the garage, like right at the top. So there's no way for my mate to park his car on there. So we call the bloke and say, mate, there's a car on the drive, we can't park it. And he goes, all right, lad, I'm around the corner, I'll come and sort it. I've given up with the accent now, mate, I'm so bad at it. So God knows what accent I'm doing now, but I've given up on it. And he turns up and he's like a proper scally, he's probably 21, maybe 21 to 25, like covered in like paint and oil and stuff. So God knows what his job is. Maybe a mechanic or I don't know. But he was covered in paint. So God knows what his actual job was. Turns up and he goes, I'll give you a permit instead. And we were like, well, we actually paid for a driveway, so it'd be off the road. But at this point, we just take the permit. So he comes out, he gives us his permit. And where it says date, he's written over in pen a date like that makes it in date. Whereas actually, if you look at the permit, it's expired like 2 years ago or something.
No way.
Yeah, he's just crossed out the 2022 or whatever it had been and changed it to a 4 and stuff. And so we got back in the car and we didn't notice it at first. And then my mate goes, this is out of date. And I was like, at this point, I'm thinking we're going to miss kickoff at this rate. So I was like, I just said to him, I'll just fuck it, mate. Look, listen, I'll pay for it if it's a permit. But then out of principle, we were like, no. So we got him back. And he goes, like, oh, yeah, the new ones are on order. You'll get away with it, lad. And we were like, mate, we shouldn't be having to get away with things. We've paid money to park on a drive. And he was like, OK, I'll cancel your payment. And he comes up and shows us on the phone the payment screen. And he's like, "Say, look, I'm pressing cancel. And it wouldn't, nothing was happening. So it's probably like a screenshot. And he was probably pretending to cancel it. So my mate goes, right, take a photo of the situation, like of the house or the car, the driveway and stuff. So as we're driving off, right, I take a photo of it, yeah? So I take two or three photos out the window. I wasn't trying to be discreet because I thought I'm not doing anything wrong. Take a photo, and we go around the corner, we get stuck at the traffic lights, right? And then out of nowhere, because we were going to go and park somewhere else, at this point we just had enough, out of nowhere, there's a bang on the window, right? So I'm winding down the window and he goes, hey, lad, like really aggressive. Why are you taking a photo of my house? And I was like, I wish I could do this.
No, he didn't.
And I go, because you just conned us. And he went, I haven't conned you. And I went, well, why are we not parking on your driveway then? And he went, I want you to delete that photo now. And I went, no, mate. He was like, you can't take photos of my house. You don't have permission. And I said, mate, if you hadn't have tried to con us with the parking, we wouldn't have had to. And he went, and he said, and it looked like he was going to go and get something from the car. God knows what that would have been. But thankfully, my mate just drove off and we got away, but trying to pay legitimately for a website for a parking space on someone's drive, and he tried to get beaten up. I mean, he got beaten up and conned at the same time. That was the two main incidences of it. And you know, it was a great game, really good game. I got myself injured in the limbs during the game, like as we've talked about on this podcast. There is this new, I don't know if it's a new thing, but it certainly happens regularly where people don't sit in their seats. We've moaned about it before, but people just go get, well, they probably have a few singles here and there, and they all bunch up together, get in everyone's way and make it uncomfortable. But because we're all West Ham, aren't we? We've got to just kind of let it go. And they're always smashed out their face as well. And they're never exactly the most smallest of people either. Anyway, so they do this, get battered. And then there's this new thing, limbs, isn't it? Where it's to see, like, you're looking at away fan sections and seeing who can have the greatest limbs, which, you know, I get if it's a natural thing, that's fine. And of course, it's passion. And when West Ham score a goal, I can't control myself and stuff. But you've got people literally throwing themselves over the rows in front to create limbs, which, you know, is fun and in some respects. But I took three people all on top of my leg at one, for the first goal. And so my knee was, and I've got dodgy knees and stuff. I've had ACLs and stuff. I've got literally the weight of three people crushing my knee into the chairs in front. I came out of that one.
Was the equaliser, wasn't it?
That was the equaliser, that one. So I was like, okay, my knee hurts, but I've survived. The second one, I don't know where this bloke come from, because he wasn't in the first three that fell down for the first one. I reckon he came down two or three rows. He came flying down, and literally he's like a really big bloke. Like, no disrespect, but he was like a big, bulky, tall, large lad, and he's come flying down. And as he's come flying down, I'm jumping up and down celebrating, and he's cracked me bang on the nose of his elbow, and he's fallen like three rows or whatever. And literally, I'm like celebrating Souček, you know, I'm in absolute amazement at Souček's goal. And the next thing I know, I've got water combined with blood coming down my face and stuff. And like even now it's stinging like anything and stuff. And I think I was probably like, it's bruised, but it's probably, I don't know, slightly harder. I'd have broken my nose and stuff. And like, you know, I get away days of fun and I don't want to be a party pooper and stuff. And everyone's, you know, gets
absolute shit beating out of you. Yeah, I think you're within your rights to make a bit of a complaint.
Well, exactly. Ideally, I'd be able to celebrate. And, you know, I'm with my mate's kid, who's 13, you know, and you know, he's quite a big lad, to be fair, so he can hold his own, like, in terms of height and stockiness and stuff. But, like, you know, I could have been with my daughter, I could have been my five-year-old son, I could have been with my, you know, 10-year-old girl daughter, like, sorry, I could have been with, like, my granddad, you know, I don't have one, but I could have been my dad, who's, you know, granddad age and stuff, you know, and I just think, people have got to be a little bit more mindful of the people around them. Like, I don't mind if people have naturally fallen over. You can't help it. But there's people that are deliberately thinking it through. I'm going to throw myself down there and stuff. And not all West Ham fans are aged, you know, 16 to 50. You know, you've got people either side of that. And if you get someone in the wrong way, like I did, and, you know, I was done, if I'd been an old man or whatever, that could have been quite serious. And, you know, these people are absolutely battered as well. Like, they don't watch the, they get there 15 minutes late, watch about 10, 15 minutes of it, leave before half time, come back battered, watch a bit of it. And it's just, I just kind of think to myself, like, have a little bit more courtesy to around your fellow supporter. Not everyone wants to get battered and throw themselves five rows in front. And, you know, I don't want to suck an absolute party pooper from what was an amazing away day, but I was whether to say something or not. But considering I'm literally, my nose is in agony right now, I think I should probably say something. So,
I shouldn't have laughed when you was telling that story. It's just that I know you, and I know how unlucky you can be at times as well. And it just made me chuckle. But no, listen, I think you're absolutely right. I mean, we've said it before, and I'll say it again. I don't understand why people sit in seats that don't belong to them. Because what you're doing, you're basically mugging off the people who's paid money for the seats. And, you know, depending on who's sitting in those seats, they might not be confident enough for the confrontation of getting that seat back. So then that puts them in a position where they've got to try and steal someone else's seat. Because if they don't, where do they go? They just find some empty seat somewhere. It's just, and the whole, that being acceptable because we're all West Ham, it's bollocks. You know, because we're all West Ham is the reason why that shouldn't happen. So that's the first complaint. And obviously I'm assuming that these people who came from absolutely fucking nowhere was doing exactly that. They was nicking a seat.
I mean, I admitted it. I heard them say it.
Well, there you go. So, you know, that's ridiculous. And you're absolutely right. When it comes to who you're with, I couldn't take my daughters to that game. I wouldn't take my wife to that game.
No, exactly.
If that was a scenario and I could potentially see one of them get hurt in a clump in the face or something like that, for fuck's sake, you know what I mean? It's ridiculous. And listen, I'm the world's worst when it comes to having a drink and maybe going a bit over the top. But, you know, I'd never be in a position where I'd take the piss out of another West Ham fan or make them feel uncomfortable or hurt them. Do you know what I mean?
You'd
have to get a bit of responsibility about them.
Well, exactly. Your drinking or whatever has never impacted, maybe apart from me, on someone's enjoyment of the game. So, you know, the strange, it's never impacted on strangers' enjoyment of the game. If anything, it's enhanced others because you just go around and talk to everyone and be really friendly. It's not impacted on anyone, but these people do. And I just think, you know, everyone enjoyed it. I mean, it was an amazing away day. You know, I loved it. I was jumping around, hugging, you know, my mate and stuff, like we were all having a good time and stuff. But to deliberately stand on a chair and then launch yourself when you're like 6'5"
like
and,
lemmings, yeah
exactly, and 20 stone and stuff, it's only gonna hurt. And this guy must have hurt, his arm was all bent up around the seat and stuff, and he must have hurt himself. And if he doesn't care about hurting himself, you know, it's others. And you know, I can take it. I've had an elbow to the face, a punch to the face before, but as I said, you put that onto the wrong person. Imagine if that is, like, as I say, I used to go to away days with my eldest daughter when she was like 6 or 7. Imagine if that bloke had fallen on top of her. And I think at times you've got to I don't want to be miserable bastard and moan and stuff, but you've got to have a bit of consideration about other people around you. And that's not being boring and spoiling away days. You know, these people that were being lemmings themselves, they were young kids once upon a time at an away day. You know, I'm sure they wouldn't want to be crushed themselves. So I just think just have a little bit more respect and courtesy to towards each other, and then they can be enjoyable for everyone. You can still go mad and jump up and down and grab your mate and, you know, have a hug or whatever, but just literally launching yourself three rows over the top, it's just like, it's going to end in trouble for everyone.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. And, no, I think you're right. It's just, I don't know, the culture and
territory has changed.
I think that comes into it a little bit. You know, how hardcore can I be when we score a winner or something like that? I'm going to throw myself into rows and hopefully the cameras will pick me up. And
I think hopefully I'll have a few war wounds as well to show everyone that, I've got a black eye because I threw three, I went four rows down the front. But I don't know about the fucking five other people that got a black eye in the process as well.
I know, it's a point well made. Fucking hell, mate, to be fair, it's if nothing else, going to Liverpool is always eventful, isn't it?
I knew when the minute I woke up, literally what I said to myself, one of the first things is, what is going to happen today? You know, like literally, like anything can happen. You know, there's going to be some form of weirdness or carnage or something like that. So
you weren't wrong, but I tell you what, I fucking hate Scousers, and I don't know how many Scouse West Ham fans listen to this podcast, and if so, I want to apologise to absolutely fucking nobody when I say I fucking hate Scousers. Honestly, migrate them to a fucking desert island, build a dough office and just let them beat the shit out of each other. That's the best place for them. They don't want to be part of this country anyway, fucking inbred fucking weirdos they are.
I love the fact that I sit on this podcast and let you do that when about 40% of my family are Scousers. well, they support Everton.
Fuck me, I forgot about that, actually.
Yeah, exactly.
No, they're all right, it's the others.
Yeah, to be fair, they're not technically Scousers because they're not from Liverpool, but they support Everton and stuff, so...
I think I'm okay on a technicality there, then.
I'm
talking about Scousers as opposed to football-related family.
Yeah, they're not far from Liverpool, to be fair, but not technically Liverpool, so...
Oh, God, that's so funny. That's tickled me, that. Well, listen, another big week for West Ham with two very winnable games, I like to think. Starting with our trip to Freiburg. Are you confident?
Confident is not the right word, but I think we could get a result there. Unfortunately, they got a good result against Bayern Munich at the weekend, which will give them some confidence. And I think they played well as well. And I think we could go there. We should go there feeling confident because we beat them there before. We've beaten them at home. So in theory, we should be fine. I would take a draw there and then beat them at home. You know, at the end of the day, it's two legs for a reason. A draw there would be fine by me. And I think, but, you know, I think we could get a win as well. And then, as you say, Burnley, you've got to be looking to beat Burnley. You know, Burnley at home is pretty much the dream fixture, isn't it, at the moment? So you never know with West Ham. But if you had to pick any team to play at home at this moment in time, it probably would be Burnley, wouldn't it? So hopefully we'll pick up two wins again.
Please, God. Right, it's that time again.
Calling all West Ham fans. Are you a patron of the West Ham Way? If not, why not? For the price of a pint, you get top quality content on a daily basis, to include the famous West Ham Way podcast with Dave and X, over 100 interviews with ex-players and celebrity fans, Mad Dog Bites with Martin Allen, a show with Tony Cotty, the U Irons podcast, the West Ham Way USA, a transfer window show with Demis Sheff, and expert pre-match analysis. There are virtual events with ex-players, written articles, match day discussion, away day burger reviews, in-depth match reports, and if you want to be the first to get reliable, accurate, exclusive news on all club affairs, you'll get exactly that from the best ITK in the business, ex-West Ham United employee. All that and more delivered to your phone for a fiver a month. It's the daddy.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.